Good morning. How's everybody doing? Thank you, Jesus. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for your presence. Thank you for what you're doing here. Lord, I pray right now that, your wind, your holy wind, Lord, would, God, it would bring fresh clarity, Lord, to our minds and our hearts. Father, I'm asking that you would release that wind of heaven that would bring clarity, Lord. It would bring revelation. It would reveal who Jesus is. And then, Lord, I'm asking also that your holy fire, Lord, would minister to hearts this morning and minister, Lord, to hands and to feet. God, that your fire would burn away anything that has hindered, Lord, hearts, hands, or feet from being able to move forward in God. And, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you're here among us and that you're filling, Lord, this living temple, these people. Lord, and the signs of your presence are all around, that you're here in the midst of us. And so, Father, I just bless this time together. Declare it's going to be fruitful. In Jesus' name, amen. So I flew in from South Africa yesterday. I bring you greetings from the other side and the underside of this world. Completely different hemisphere. It was fun. At night, I'd look up at the stars and didn't recognize any of them because they're all different. It was really fun for me because I'm one who appreciates looking up at the stars and recognizing constellations and all that kind of stuff. And so I'm looking up and I was totally lost. Like, where am I? What is this? It was fantastic. But in that state of being upside down, their winter was ending, they're heading into spring. Our summer is coughing its last breaths and going for the long slumber. And so it's actually very similar temperatures and experience physically, but wow, it was a wonderful time. I'm going to share some of the experiences that I had this morning in reference to what I feel like the Lord is saying to us and maybe remind us of some stuff. So hope you're ready for that. Is that all right? Just out of curiosity, how many were in the room last night? Okay. And the rest of you were not. As we minister this morning, as I'm preaching, there's going to be a couple things that are going to happen. And I want you to warn you about them first because there's going to be a sign to you that actually happens while we're sharing the word. And when it does, I want you to either wave at me or, and you don't need to draw attention to yourself, but either wave at me or you can stand up where you're at, because we're going to stop. We're going to minister over you as it happens. So I saw that the fire of the Lord would be touching people's hands, feet, and hearts. And so if you're feeling that manifestation, you feel the manifestation of his fire on your hands or on your feet or in your heart, if that's you, and we'll just do it right now. If that's you right now, would you just wave at me? Yeah, 1, 2, 3, yep. Okay, can I just real quick just ask you guys to stand up if you're feeling that manifestation right now? I'm not going to embarrass you, don't worry. Just put a hand on your own heart right now, and then the rest of us, would you agree with me for that increase? So, Father, we're asking right now for increase. Come on, you might even want to aim a hand at those guys. God, we pray for increase. We bless what you're doing, Lord, the work of your hand in each life. We bless it right now, and we pray more, God. More, Lord. We fan into flame. More, God. More, Jesus. More, Jesus. The fire of God be released among us. The fire of God be released among us. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray for an all-consuming fire. Lord, that wherever they go, wherever those feet touch, Lord God, that the fire of the Lord would spread like wildfire. God, whatever they put their hands to, Lord God, whatever they put their hands to, Lord, the fire of the Lord, the refiner's fire, that which makes old things new again. Lord, I pray that that holy fire of God, his touch, it would cause, Lord, things to be made new. Whatever they put their hands to, God, that that fire would spread like a wildfire. Lord, we fan it into flame this morning. We fan it into flame this morning. We fan it into flame this morning. Father, we're asking right now for the hearts, Lord, that have been set ablaze, that your holy fire rests on their heart right now. God, that whatever they lean their heart towards, Lord, whatever their affection gets set on, whatever their compassion reaches out for, Lord, that the fire of God would fall afresh on those things, Lord, that it would spread. Whatever they lean their hearts towards, Lord God, that the fire of God would touch those things, Lord, and it would ignite. Lord, whatever they have compassion, Lord, on, that the kingdom of heaven and God's holy fire would spread into those places, Lord, and would bring transformation, Lord God. Transformation, Lord God. Transformation, God. Transformation. All things new. All things new. All things new. Thank you, Lord. 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 Okay, if it's spread to you, why don't you stand up? No, you keep standing. Those who are, yep. Father, right now, we pray for increase. Increase, God. Let the holy fire of God touch their lives. Let your holy fire, Lord God, touch their lives. Even this morning, Lord, all things new. We decree it over them right now. God, that your holy anointing has set them apart. And Lord, we're speaking right now. We're speaking right now, Lord, over hands and hearts and feet. Lord, and I'm speaking now to tongues, God, that mouths would be set ablaze. Lord, that whatever they speak to, that the refiner fire of heaven would fall upon them, Lord God. The refiner fire of heaven, Lord, would go through them. Lord, that whatever they speak to, whatever issue in life, that your holy fire, Lord, would go from them and it would touch lives and bring transformation, Lord God. Bring transformation, Lord God. Bring transformation, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you're transforming eyes. There's some of you in here, your eyes started to heat up and you're wondering why, if it's like allergies or something. It's not, it's him. Yeah, if that's you, would you just wave at me right now? Yep, one, two, yep, all over. Okay. Would you take your hands and put them on your eyes? Father, we speak right now the refiner's fire to the way that they see. That they would see through the transformation power of Jesus. That they would see people through the refiner's fire. That they would see the way that God had made people to be. God, we call forth the prophetic voices. We call forth, Lord God, the prophetic foresight, the ability to see the way that he sees, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. God, we agree for these things this morning. In your holy name. Amen. Amen. Why don't you go ahead and grab a seat? Okay, so as we move along this morning, you're going to feel that kind of stuff happening. And as it does, just recognize it, give attention to it, and you feel free to tune me out and just listen to what God's saying to you, okay? Deal? And the rest of you who think that was extremely weird, well, welcome to the house. So I'm going to read a passage of scripture here, and then I'm just going to tell you a little bit about what happened in Africa. So this is Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6, very familiar passage if you've been hanging out here very long. It's one we've preached on many times, but it's one that is very much new and is very much prophesying over what God's doing next. So, behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will restore the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. I'm going to read it again. Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will restore the hearts of fathers to their children and children towards their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. There is this experience in God where if you will choose to have your heart held in honor towards what he has done before in previous generations, if you'll choose to honor what God's done in someone else's life. It's like, truly, you know, Revelation says that the testimony of Jesus carries or is the very spirit of prophecy. That when you hear somebody talk about what Jesus has done in their life or what Jesus did in a previous generation, that there is something that rides those words that is prophetic in nature. It prophesies. It speaks to what is to come. The very spirit of prophecy or that anointing for prophecy, I'm not sure what kind of background you've come from, so let me just make sure that you understand that what I am saying right now. When Jesus was going to come into the world, the Messiah, the Holy One of God, God was going to take on flesh and he was going to come into the world and he was going to bring an end to the dominion of darkness. He was going to bring an end to the slavery to sin. Jesus, the Messiah, the Holy One of God, is going to come into the world. Prophets, people who were hearing from God, began to speak about what was coming hundreds and hundreds of years before it came. Hundreds of years before it came. In fact, God himself speaks to Adam and Eve in the garden and says, "Your seed is going to crush Satan's head." I am telling you right now that a human, at one point in history, coming down the line, will bring an end to what was just transpired in the garden. The fall of mankind will be brought back and it will be restored by another man. The first Adam failed where the last Adam would succeed. We know this, right? The prophetic word was released from the beginning of creation and it has been echoed throughout history. As other men and women would hear, would see, would experience God and then catch something. And they would go, "Oh, don't worry. Humanity will be saved because one is coming." And these prophetic words were preparing the ground for him who would come. These prophetic words were preparing the way. The words themselves, when people would hear them, their hearts would get touched and their lives would begin to be reoriented towards what God was saying. When a prophetic word comes, it's not just about saying, "Oh, this is who God has made you to be." It's not just about calling out what's good in you. And it's not just, you know, determining what was wrong or bringing clarity to where it went awry. It's about speaking from the old, what God intended from the beginning, through your life, to help your life be oriented towards where it is supposed to go. When you prophesy, you are speaking not just to the individual in the moment of time. You are speaking from what God did before and what he is going to do again. And you are speaking into their life so that their life will become aligned with where God is going. See, the ways of men are not the same as the ways of God. And so when the prophetic word comes, it prepares the way for the coming of the Lord. It prepares your ways. It gets your heart ready. You start to tweak a little bit. He speaks to you and you go, "Oh, I think maybe I was off a little bit. Let me just re-aim and reorient towards where I'm supposed to go." Are you alive this morning? Y'all are looking at me like you need some coffee. Listen, there is coffee out in the foyer. If you need something, go for it. When the word comes, it touches your heart and it carries a familiarity with it. When God speaks, it carries a familiarity with it, even though the words themselves could be foreign. When God speaks, often he starts his statements like this: "Hey, you need to repent. You need to change the way you think. You need to repent because the kingdom's at hand," or "you need to repent," not in sackcloth and ashes as if your torment and your guilt is somehow going to bring forgiveness of sin. No, Jesus took care of that. Thank the Lord. Your repentance is a change of mind, and so when the word comes, when someone prophesies over you, and the familiarity of it, his presence is on these words, and it touches your heart and makes you alive on the inside. It's causing you to trust what's being said. Because even though it might be saying to you, hey, you're thinking wrong. I know you think you know what you're talking about, but you don't. And so I'm coming alongside you right now to speak into your situation so that you have the ability to trust, to let your walls go down, and to start begin to change the way you think, because this is in preparation for what he's trying to do in your life. And as long as you keep thinking the same way, you're not going to see what he made you for. As long as you're convinced you know what you're talking about, as long as you stay high instead of going low, as long as you're sitting on that horse instead of getting knocked off of it, as long as you're convinced that you have better theology than God, it's going to be very difficult for you to change the way that you think in order to align with where he wants you to go. Are you... Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord, and he's going to restore the hearts of fathers to their children, children towards their fathers. See, God will start to do a work in a generation, and he'll bring forward, like, the word. He'll bring these prophetic promises. He'll speak over, he'll do something that's, like, totally radical and new, and it will just, it blows things up. Like, if you look at throughout history and you look at any time that God moved, any kind of the markings of the breath of the Holy Spirit on churches or the breath of the Holy Spirit in movements, it, like, blows up the boxes every time, messes people up. You know, God can be moving in the midst and people weeping and giving their lives to the Lord and repenting and deliverance is happening. There's something so beautiful in it, and it can look violent or it can look peaceful. It can look like a hot mess where people are just snotting all over themselves. And, you know, you got all that kind of stuff, these manifestations. And in the midst of people repenting and giving their lives to the Lord, you will still have those who are under that religious mindset get right up in the middle of God manifesting and say, this is not God. Happens every time. If you ever wondered what the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is, that's it. Where you point towards what God is doing and you say, that is the devil, and you begin to bring a delusion to the people that would listen to you. And so they end up rejecting the very thing that's actually here for them. This is it. It's amazing. It happens in every generation. And what is just so funny is that the previous move of God, what God did in previous generations, tend to be the ones that stewarded before, tend to become the ones who judge what God's doing next. It's amazing. And the reason is because often it looks so different. So when you're praying and you're like, God, would you please send revival to our land? Oh, Lord, touch the Donald. Touch Hillary. God, let revival come. You may not actually know what you're praying, because the way it looked in previous generations may not look the way that it's going to look now. It's amazing. You know, the manifestation of the same kingdom and the same anointing upon the same office in David looked drastically different than it looked in Solomon. Drastically different. That's one generation away. How God manifested himself to the same group of people, completely different. Quite the contrast. And my proposal to you today is that we as a people need to be looking for the familiarity of the Father's voice, not for the manifestation that's familiar. We need to be looking for the familiarity of the scent and the breath of heaven. We need to be looking for the fruit, but not for the delivery. We need to be looking for the fruit, but where God wants to plant that tree, let's make it okay. Are you... The spirit of Elijah, that prophetic spirit, would come and it would awaken hearts, and it would awaken them, it would awaken fathers to turn their hearts towards sons and sons towards their fathers. And in the midst of this, that when the prophetic has prepared a generation and awakened them to the things of God, and it causes the next generation to begin to see what's possible, because they're now, they've repented, they're now thinking from a different point of view. Repent, the kingdom of heaven's at hand. The ones that came under it go, wow, if heaven's at hand, then what can happen? And then when these fathers turn their hearts towards their children, three generations, one, two, three, when the kids catch hold of it, a new manifestation of what is possible on the earth happens. And it breaks off generational works, generational curses, stuff that's lingered in the land, stuff that, you know, let me just speak right to some issues here. And if you're offended, praise God. But when our forefathers started this nation and they declared freedom, independence, they released a prophetic spirit that would come over our land and would bring freedom. Right? When you fast forward into 1950s and 1960s, you begin to see that freedom begin to touch all of the peoples, where the discrepancies between races begin to break down, and people have now begun to, like, repeat the words of Martin Luther King Jr., that I have a dream, that this is possible. That spirit of freedom that was released prophetically over our land began to touch every people group, and it needs to continue to touch every people group. It needs to continue. This prophecy, this prophetic word needs to touch the hearts and the lives of all people. We carry that into the nations. It's amazing. But then when the fathers become awake and they go, we have dreams, this is what's possible, because if that's true, then this is what's possible for the coming generations, that when the coming generations begin to grab hold of it, there's supposed to be a manifestation of something new. It's supposed to end up in something great. But this is what happens. See, between King Saul and the prophet Samuel, operating in the spirit of prophecy, prepared the way so that David could be manifested, a father. And when David was manifested and he began to say, I have a dream of what it could look like, this temple, God's presence, this realm of God's kingdom touching the face of the earth, he could not have imagined the way that his son Solomon would rule through peace, because David was about war and that Solomon manifested it in peace. David dreamed about a temple, but Solomon actually built one. Okay, and between the three generations, they saw something manifested. Now, it went awry because of sin. It went awry because the very works that Saul and Samuel began to cut off prophetically began to manifest in the very one who was building's life. He brought the worship of other gods into their nation. He brought things that were caused the downfall. And what you see in the very next generation, Solomon's son, he is not on the throne for a couple months when he blows it all. The kingdom is divided. It's destroyed. Boom. And they end up into, you know, some serious junk. But when three generations arise together, it breaks off the curses in the land. The Lord said that sin will exist in a land 3 to 4 generations. It'll exist in a life 3 to 4 generations. Chances are that the stuff going on in your life, stuff that you struggle with, had nothing to do with you. It probably started before you. The question is, how long are you going to tolerate it in your life? Are you going to allow the prophetic words of previous generations to become your dreaming platform so that you can make sure this doesn't go on to the next generation? Or will you just tolerate it? Sometimes it actually takes three generations of God doing a work, doing a work, doing a work for that thing to finally be broken off and it's done. To prepare the way, your ways, so that it would line up. Verses 1-8, if you got a Bible. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It was written by Isaiah the prophet. Behold, I'm going to send a messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. You know that this is speaking of John the Baptist. John comes on the scene. He is preaching this sermon. You must repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John is preaching this sermon for 6 months before Jesus ever shows up. As John is preaching, he's not manifesting signs and wonders. The only sign and wonder is this guy is dressed in camel skin. He's got bug guts hanging off his beard. He's this wild man dripping with honey, and you know, you can see grasshopper leg coming off of here, and he's got wild eyes, and he's just standing in the middle of the river, and all the whole of Israel is coming out to see this hot mess. They're coming out and they're looking to see this crazy guy. And the thing about it is that they haven't heard the Lord's voice in 400 years. So all of a sudden, when they hear something in the spirit, when their hearts are made alive, when that strange familiarity of the voice of their creator begins to resonate off of their hearts, it didn't matter the vessel it was coming from. It didn't matter what the ministry looked like, because the ministry looked drastically different from the ministry of their leaders in that day. Their leaders are in fine clothes, in the priestly garb, all proper and prim. And here comes John, pierced and tatted up. He looks like a mess, and from society, no one recognizes him except for when he speaks. Repent. You have to change the way you're thinking. Why? Because you're thinking of it wrong. Trust me, you're looking for something that's not coming. The thing that's coming is already here. It's already here among us. John starts pointing to the banks of the river. He's here somewhere. I can sense that he's here. But everybody's looking around. There's thousands of people standing on the beach. Where is he? What? Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He's prophesying. He's declaring. It's here. It's here. It's here. It looks different than you thought it was going to look. It's here. You're not looking for something that's coming. It's here. He's here. Prepare your heart. Start to think of it differently. People are becoming baptized, and they're baptizing them for repentance, for the sake of confessing their sin, getting right with God, declaring, I'm ready. I want to think differently. I'm pursuing you. I'm wholehearted to you. And it was all in preparation of the one who had come after and preached the exact same sermon that John did. Why in the world does Jesus preach the same sermon that John does? Does God need somebody to go before him and say what he's about to say? Really? Does, when God speaks, why would God use a vessel? Why would God use a person? I mean, Jesus, the incarnate one, when he speaks, like, storms fall silent. Transformation happens in people's lives. Demons flee. Like, when he speaks, stuff shakes to the core. Wouldn't you think that, I mean, all Jesus has to do is, first sermon, he just walks out on the Sea of Galilee, turns around, standing on the water, and just goes, hey, everybody, I'm God. Done deal. Done deal. But that's not what he does. Instead, he has a spirit of prophecy go before him and touch the hearts and awaken them to something, and it begins to stir and shift the hearts towards what's coming, so that when he shows up on the scene and when he speaks, when he does his works, it isn't just preparing the soil was ready. Yeah. That's what's been happening. That's what happened in South Africa. So I flew over to South Africa. A friend of mine, his name's John Crumpton. I met John a number of years ago, I think probably 3 years now. And we just had an encounter with the Lord together. We're in prayer. He's a leader in South Africa. And we began to talk about, hey, maybe there's a day when I come over. And anyway, you know, we just kind of parted ways, but God kept bringing us back together until finally there was enough affirmation that it was like, yeah, no, we really are supposed to go. So we booked the dates and we went, and didn't realize kind of the prophetic timing of it. You know, we landed and began to minister. The event that they put together for me to share with their network of churches, which represented over 1,000 churches in the lower five nations in the African Horn. It was Zambia, Zimbabwe, Uganda, South Africa, and then I keep forgetting the fifth one, but it doesn't matter. 1,000 churches. So the leaders of these movements come together and to hear something because they're looking to hear what God was saying. And so that's the event, and the event actually happened to take place on, if you know, Rosh Hashanah happened this last weekend, or the Jewish New Year. Started on Sunday sundown and went through Wednesday. Well, these are the same dates as this is the close of one season and the birth of the next. And it happened to be a year of Jubilee, which means that the debts and stuff were all forgiven on Sunday at sundown. It's the close of one season and the beginning of the next. It's the close of the previous chapter and the birthing of the next. And what was being invited to do is they're asking me to come and give the word of the Lord for the next season. No pressure, right? Hey, we've gathered the whole nations here. Would you please just tell us what God wants us to do next? So we landed, and the first thing that we did is we went and we saw John's father. We went to visit him. And the reason I went to visit him was because 2 weeks earlier, I was meeting with a man named Alan Langstaff. And Pastor Alan was one of these men who led the move of God in Australia in the 60s and 70s. The move of God, the charismatic renewal, it touched all streams. See, Pastor Alan was a Methodist minister who got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he began to see that the denominational lines are not actually lines. They're just divisions between peoples. That we needed to begin to see one another as brothers in Christ, sisters in Christ, and so they began to do these cross-denominational meetings. The power of God would fall on them, and the charismatic Catholic movement was birthed, and the charismatic Lutheran movements was birthed, and the, you know, the streams of ministry began to flow together, and major, major stuff started happening in the nation of Australia. So I mentioned to Pastor Alan, I said, hey, Pastor Alan, I'm going to South Africa in a couple weeks, you know, would you pray for me? He said, you're going to South Africa? I have a dear friend that lives there. I said, who? He said, his name is Derek Crumpton. I said, Derek Crumpton, you've got to be kidding me. I'm going to see his son. In fact, Pastor Alan, they asked me to minister in the movement that was birthed out of the charismatic renewal in South Africa at the same time that Alan was leading. See, in South Africa, the same thing happened. A Methodist minister by the name of Derek Crumpton began to see the body of Christ as one and as unified, and that you could be brothers and sisters in Christ, and that it wasn't divided by denominational thinkings. It actually had to do with something in the heart and walking in covenant relationships and loving one another, and the presence and the Spirit of God could be manifested in all sorts of vessels who don't believe the same thing or correctly. And so Derek began to move that way in South Africa, and some amazing stuff happened. This move of God was birthed, and this amazing, you know, revival swept their land, and then it started reaching into all of Africa, and God began to do this major thing. When? In the 1968 through the 70s, same time period, God's doing that. For us, back here in America, what it looked like was the Holy Spirit Lutheran renewal, the charismatic Catholic renewal, and the Jesus People movement. Happened in the exact same time period, the exact same time in history. What God was doing there and all over the world, God began to do here. Come on, are you alive this morning? So I got the privilege of going and sitting with Derek, and we walked in the room, and it turned out that the night before, he had almost died. In fact, he had been in failing health, and things were not going well, and they really did not know if this man was going to live. And the previous night, he was touch and go. Completely out of conscience. He's like, he was not in a right mind. It was really bad. And so we didn't know what we were going to come into. We didn't know. He could be vegetable on a bed, or we could find him clear. We just didn't know. And so we came in, and the reason I came in is because Pastor Allen said, hey, please go and bring my greeting. So I walked in the door, and we just brought this declaration: God, for such a time as this. Now, I'm a man who honors the past. And so I was so excited because I had the opportunity to go and to honor one of these apostolic fathers who had done one of these things in the previous generation. You know, and this guy is just hidden. And so I went in and I brought a gift for him, a gift of honor to give him. And I walked in and he is kind of hunched over, you know, you can tell, oh, this may not be great. And I walked in and I just didn't allow anybody to ask about health. I didn't allow whatever. I just interrupted, like someone else started talking. I just interrupted and I said, Derek, I bring you greetings from an old friend. I said, Alan Langstaff. And all of a sudden, poof, Alan Langstaff? Are you kidding me? And this thing, this newness, this life sprung up inside of him as he began to remember, as he began to put back the members of his memory, to remember, to join them back. As he remembered and began, and then immediately he began to testify of the works that God did in the 60s and 70s. And he began to tell story after story of the way that the revival would touch interdenominations and that people were transformed and delivered and waves of the Holy Spirit would come on these meetings, massive meetings, and God was doing something in their nation. And he's telling me all these stories. And he said, you know what? He said, there was a point where the Pope called for the Jubilee. And it was one of these years of Jubilee, and he called forth the Jubilee, and he called a meeting at the Vatican of all the world leaders in the Catholic faith to come together and to decree the Jubilee and in the things of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit renewal was touching them as well, even in the Vatican at that time. And there were only three evangelical leaders invited. One man from England, Derek Crumpton from South Africa, and Alan Langstaff from... They were invited to come, and they're sitting at the Vatican, and they're having this time of connection. And I'm telling you that there was something of God that was started in previous generations that was not meant to stop, but is to continue. This stirring, right? And so I said, sir, and this is the reason why I came. I came to tell you that which was in your heart. See, as he told stories, what I realized is that they're the same values we hold. I mean, same. He would tell a story and thinking that it's somehow different and not realizing that it was striking at the very core of what God had done in us as a people, what God's done before. It was making me alive. I'm going, I'm hearing the values of what God did in a previous generation that is supposed to happen again. And it's resounding off my chest. See, their experiences and the way it looked, totally different. Not, I mean, if you want to go to the Vatican, feel free. It may look different.
Yeah, it's good.
But the spirit of it, the prophetic nature of it, was in the inside, resounding. Shoo! Whoo. And so I gave him this gift. I said, Derek, I have come to give you this gift of honor and tell you that what God did in your generation is alive and well in mine.
Amen.
It did not die with you. It has been passed on. Is very much alive and well, and the very same values that you are speaking to right now are the things that make and drive my life. This man began to weep and weep and weep, and through the course of it, by the end, he was saying this. He said, I have been asking Jesus these last days why he hasn't taken me home yet. And he said, this is one of the reasons why I have not gone home to be with the Lord yet. This had to happen. Fast forward, now I'm about to go in to minister to the movement of churches that have been stewarded for the next generation by fathers' hearts that have been alive towards those promises but hadn't seen it manifested because the next generation hadn't come yet. And so they invited me in to begin to speak, and I began to minister from our value system. Listen, I just preach the way I preach here. You know, I'm not here to impress anybody, and I wore my best t-shirts. It was great. They're all dressed. It was great. They're all dressed up, and, you know, some better than others, and just brought it, just brought authenticity. This is just who we are. And waves of God's power swept over those crowds. I mean, we'd go to minister at the end of the night and the whole room would be wiped out. I don't know if you can imagine it, just bodies laying everywhere, people snotting and others laughing. I've got some videos of this one young, I bet he's 10 years old. He's laughing so hard he cannot stop. And the more he laughs, the more the joy of the Lord begins to resound off of other people. And it's like this uncontrollable thing. You can kind of feel it. It's just ridiculous. I'll put it up on Facebook or something. You can check it out. It's sure to offend half of you. It'll be great. And but you got people laughing and then weeping and people getting set free and touched. And it was just this like, wah, madness. Night after night after night, waves of God's presence would come in. And the leaders are standing up and they're saying, this is that. This is that. This is the thing that we've been praying into. We've been waiting for the next generation to grab hold of. We've been waiting to see these things. We saw them in the previous generation. We've been holding the prophetic promise and dreaming about what was possible. And now we're seeing the days that we've been longing for. Listen, what God did before, he will do again. It's like this. I shared this last night, I feel like it's a good word picture. It's like a bow and arrow. You set the arrow on it. And what's interesting is that the scriptures say that children are like arrows in a quiver. It's a prophetic picture of what happens when you have a younger generation that you have an opportunity to aim, but how you aim it is this. You take the arrow and you put it on the string and then you pull the string back, right? And you don't just let it go. You have to aim it for it to hit the target. But what it requires is when you put the next generation on the string, it requires the things of the past in alignment with the things of present so that you can shoot the next generation with accuracy towards the things to come. The spirit of prophecy that has caused the hearts of fathers to dream about what's possible. But it's going to take the vision of sons to manifest this whole thing. It's not one generation. It's not just the next generation. And it's certainly not just the ones coming. Here's the stumbling block, though, and the reason for what I'm sharing with you. I want to make you hungry for the things that we're seeing and have seen. And I wanted to give you testimony because turns out what God's doing here actually does work in the world. But there's two passages. I'll quote one and read the other. The first one is this. Jesus is talking about the way you receive people and the way you receive him. If you receive me, he says, you receive the Father. Like, hey, if you can have honor for me, then you actually get where I'm coming from. I came from the Father, and so if you're able to honor me, then you actually get the dose that came from him. Okay, if you will, obviously God is incarnate and we're not talking about generations in succession as if one existed and then the next. That's not what I'm referencing here, but you can see how this plays into generations. He calls him Father, Son. Like it's a prophetic picture, but you recognize that if you will receive the Son, then you receive the Father. And Jesus says, hey, if you honor me and you receive from me, then you get what happened before. Okay, if you choose to receive me this morning, then you get everything that poured into me, people that poured into me and all that, right? That's just honor. If you receive one another, if you honor one another, then you get what God did in them. And it's not just them, it came from other people too. Like, are you seeing this? And it doesn't stop. But then Jesus makes these comments. I'm just going to have to quote it at you, sorry. He makes this comment, he says, hey, if you receive a prophet, in the name of a prophet, you get a prophet's reward. The role of the prophet is to prepare the way. The role of the prophet is to prepare the way. It's to bring correction. It's to bring help. It's to bring aid so that your ways will get lined up with the ways. It's to prophesy so that you have a point of reference in the past, so that it marks with your present, so that you can aim towards the future. It says, if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, then you get the prophet's reward. The spirit of prophecy is to prepare the way. If you can honor what God's done in the past, then it will align your life with where it's going in the future. If you dishonor the past, if you cut yourself off from the past, if you cut yourself off from what God did in the past, then you have no reference point and you're lost right now. You're like a compass that's spinning around wondering, what's God gonna do next? Yeah. I'll tell you what he's gonna do next. The same thing and he's always done. Yesterday, today, and forevermore. It may look different, but it's him. It's honor, it's recognition of the work of God in a person's life that opens the door of your heart to trust so that what God did in that previous generation will come into you. That it doesn't just start and stop with you, but that you are stewarding a momentum. It doesn't need to get weird. This is literally just about like, hey, God started things in generations before, and if you throw the baby out with the bathwater, then we continue to just to have to restart and restart and restart, and we never make any progress. If you dishonor what God did in the previous generation, then we're right back to square one. Why would we do that? Like, didn't we learn some things? No one's saying they did everything right. Oh, my goodness. Good grief. Don't become offended and stuck at what others have done. What they did with the work of God, and don't get stuck there. Mark 6. Jesus went out from there. Mark 6, 1. He came into his hometown. His disciples followed him. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who were listening were astonished. Where did this man get these things? What is this wisdom given to him? And such miracles, they're performed by his hands. Oh, what? Isn't that the carpenter's son? Isn't that Mary's boy? You know, the one that was born out of wedlock? And his brothers, James, Joseph, Judas, Simon, aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said, a prophet. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown, among his own relatives, and in his own household. And he could do no miracle there, except he laid hands on a few of the sick people and healed them. And he wondered at their unbelief. The word offense literally means you got stuck and you stopped journeying. That's good. That's it. It doesn't need to mean I'm offended at you and so I'm not forgiving you. It just means you got stuck along the way. Something happened. And you just couldn't get past the ideas. You couldn't get past one point. And so the anchor point went in. And then it causes you, instead of to continue on the journey, you get stuck.
Yep, that's good.
And Jesus, the incarnate one, the Son of God, when he ministers, it brings shifts in the atmosphere that brings ministry and deliverance to the thousands, is just hanging out in his hometown And that experience of the atmosphere shifting, revival at hand, this stuff, it doesn't happen. And it was because they got stuck on where he came from. They just couldn't keep taking the journey forward. So it didn't shut down Jesus' ministry. His ministry was very much there. He laid hands on some people, his personal ministry. But the atmosphere was hindered because of unbelief. So this is what I've experienced. Can we reason together for a moment? I'm not talking about you. I'm not, oh, please, why don't you honor me in my hometown? I'm not even from here, so it's fine. Don't worry about it. Not what we're talking about. Forget those kinds of thoughts, okay? That's not the kind of application I want you to make this morning. We're not talking about people. I'm talking about the very spirit. I've had this experience happen. It was very interesting. Tuesday night, I'm ministering in Africa. There is such a wave of power that sweeps through the room. I mean, it was like one of those bonkers nights. Like, if you've never experienced a full-on, like, revival bonkers night, woo, it's a great time. I mean, people shake, rattling, and rolling. You know, there's a reason why they used to call us the Holy Rollers, man. People were like, woo, you know. It's wild. It's just wild. And if you're sitting there thinking, I would never, I'm more dignified. Yeah, tell that to Paul when he was riding his donkey, okay? Your position upon these things may be shaken. But waves of power and just ministry, people getting delivered, and I mean, it was just like. And I was sitting down afterwards, and some are glued to the floors, and others doing the funky chicken, you know. And, you know, you get one person who's like manifesting next to another, and they like compounds but that manifestation, that had happened before. They recognized that. I recognize that because that's the same stuff that I saw in the 90s. It is. It's the same stuff I saw at Brownsville. It's the same stuff that happened in Toronto. We saw that kind of stuff. Power, same stuff that happened in Reading right now. Manifestations and God just doing powerful stuff. And, you know, it's wonderful. But this experience happened to me. I was finishing the night, and I sat down, and I was just kind of resting in the Lord. And you know when you know something's done, and so you feel a release, and you can stand up and leave? I was feeling restless. I was not feeling released. And so I just sat down and waited. You know, and I'm sitting there, and I'm just waiting on the Lord. And boy, I think I waited 15, 20 minutes. And this was the end of the night. And so people were clearing out, and they were going. And I'm just waiting, and my ride comes up to get me and says, hey, you know, and he was trying to protect me because, you know, I hadn't slept the previous two nights, and he was just like, yeah, you got to get up in the morning and do this again. Like, we should probably go get some sleep. It's midnight, you know. And I just said, just let me linger here for a moment more. I just need to wait. So I'm waiting, you know, a little bit restless. Nothing's really happening. I keep waiting for the grand finale, you know. And like where the... And then you know it's done. And you're like, oh, yeah, okay. And now we can get up and go home. And it just never came. It just never came. So I'm just waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And finally the ride comes up to me. He's like, hey, I think we got to go. I think I need to get you home. You know, I'm like, okay, all right. Maybe tomorrow, you know. Or maybe it's just meant for me right now, just not to be satisfied, to be hungry, to, you know, keep pressing in. You know, keep digging, brother. Someday you'll hit oil. It's like, keep going. So I said, okay, you know, and I reluctantly I grabbed my bag and I stood up, and when I stood up, this like song came on in the background. And I was like, oh, I don't recognize that one, but oh, there's something so familiar to it. I didn't know the song, but there's this like, and I looked over at my right, and I said, do you know, who is this? Like, I was wondering if it was one of their recordings or something. I said, who is this? And they go, I don't know. And someone shouts back to the sound guy, like, hey, who is this music? And they said something. They're like, this is, and all I heard was, And I am on the floor. And waves of the Lord's love is washing over me and washing over me. And I begin to weep. And I'm sucking one of these chairs. Which is not a pleasant experience, by the way. I'm sucking one of these chairs and snotting. And, you know, I mentioned to pull myself up at one point, and there's like a puddle like this on this chair. I'm thinking, poor guy, he's got to sit there before, but, you know. And I'm just like, oh, Lord Jesus. This is what I long for. I love the fireworks. I love everything you've done in the past. I thank you that it's present. Oh, but I'm so glad it manifests different in the future. We worshiped, and we worshiped in his presence, and waves of his love just washed over us. At one point, I looked around. Only people in the room were kids. It's only young people. It's interesting. Waves of his love. We lingered there for another, 2 hours. It wasn't like we were like, oh, like, it's late, we should go. Like, it was like, how could we ever leave? This is what we were made for. Where would I go? This is, Lord Jesus, this is my portion. This is all I've wanted. I don't want anything else. I love all the other stuff. I love the active ministry. I love activating people. I love the power demonstrations. I love all of that. But when it gets down to it, the only reason that stuff exists is because worship does not. Evangelism exists because worship does not. Evangelism and ministry and healing and miracles, all these things will cease when we stand before the King. But let me tell you, we will be worshiping for eternity. There's something more. And if you linger just a little bit longer past the works of his hands, you will find his heart. And it just changed everything. It just changed everything. That right there. This is that. This is where we're like, oh yeah, the past stewarded through the present. What's it look like in the future? It looks like hanging out with Jesus, him being glorified. It'll have all the trimmings of everything else. We're not going to lose any of the other stuff. You're not going to lose ministry. You're going to keep ministering. Why? Because people need it. You're not going to lose the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the things that the Holy Spirit has done in the past, none of those things are going to go away. They're all very much present. But what will it look like in the future? What is it going to manifest like? I bet it's going to look different than the previous ones. But let me tell you, if it doesn't come in the packaging that you thought it should, don't be offended by it. Yeah. If you prophesied and you were the one who released it and you said, maybe you were in this building, you prophesied. I actually know some of you guys, you have been prayer warriors in this building far before we got here. You're with other churches, or maybe you're in the Jesus People movement and you've been prophesying about what God was going to do next. Let me tell you, do not be offended when it doesn't look the way that you used to steward it. Don't do it. Here's my coaching for you. Under that same prophetic spirit, let me say to you, let me prophesy to you today. Recognize with your heart, not your eyes. Don't look for the same signs. Look with your heart's eyes. Let the eyes of your heart test and approve. Check it, touch it. See if it comes with the same trimmings of the Father's voice that's touched your life before. But if you look with your eyes to try to identify, oh, this is that, then you're going to miss it because it always comes differently. The next wave isn't going to look the same way as the other waves. It may have the same spirit and it may carry the same kinds of ministries. Yes, because all those things aren't going to be lost. You recognize it with your heart, though, not your eyes. Recognize it by its fruit. Fruit happens to be the fruit of the Spirit, joy, peace, righteousness, goodness, kindness, these things. Recognize it by fruit, not manifestation. That's not revival. I know what revival looks like. I was there when so-and-so. Great, praise God. Recognize it by its fruit. That means you're going to have to hang out a while in order to see what happens in that person's life. When the laughing revivals came in the 90s, there were so many people who judged it by its manifestation, missing its fruit, not realizing that the lady who's laughing on the floor hysterically and cannot stop had just lost her child months earlier and is in such grief, but the joy of the Lord is making her new again. And there were religious folks who were like judging it as if it is not God. Don't judge with your eyes the manifestations. Judge by the fruit. Wait, linger, look to see. Did that bring transformation in their life? Are they more godly now? Don't worry about manifestations. Let me tell you. Manifestations will wreck you. That stuff, if you're worried about manifestations, my goodness. Listen, if the barn has got oxen in it and we're out there working, there's going to be poop in the barn. That's why God gave us the gift of janitoring. That's why we have the privilege of cleaning up after messes, and we're not going to worry about messes. Recognize by the confession of Jesus' lordship, not by the agreement to religious rhetoric. How do you know that spirit is from God? Because it confesses Jesus as Lord. Listen. Demons have no problem agreeing with your doctrine. It's not doctrine that tests the spirit. You can have all the right doctrine and be filled with the power of an enemy that seeks to destroy what God's doing next. Antichrist means anti-anointing, not anti-word. The devil preached the word to Jesus when he tempted him. Do not be fooled. Recognized by the confession of lordship, not looking to see if someone aligns with the way you think about, list your pet peeve subjects. Don't get offended. See changed hearts and lives. Choose to see people that are being changed, not their messes. Recognize his ministry of reconciliation and the unity that it brings with the sword of the Spirit, his word, and it touches hearts and it brings transformation. It does not control and it does not manipulate, but it releases people into freedom. Don't miss it. Church, I am bringing you this word this morning, not in scolding. We're not ones who will miss it. Trust me, we're not going to miss it. But what we're after is him. Yes. This one thing that we will seek his face. This one thing that we will worship and we will be a place of his presence. We'll be a people of his presence. This one thing. The hearts of men long for connection with the authentic God. They long for it. And if you are a carrier, if you have been touched by his love, then when you go and your heart touches and leans towards someone else, that same fire that burns within you will bring transformation to others. A great harvest is at hand. A great harvest. It's out there. But the harvest must come into a barn that is filled with his glory and presence. The harvest being drawn into the body of Christ must come into a body of Christ that is filled with presence and glory. There is a renewal of the church. There is a revival, a reviving of the church. You might say, Pastor Jamie, I don't need reviving. Ah, dear sir, if you only knew. If you only knew. If you only knew. If you only knew the breath that would make you so alive. If you only knew the breath, the fire that would transform your marriage, that would touch your life and would cause your children to come home. It would burn so brightly that it would touch your neighborhood and your business, and people would be gripped with the love. It's for now. It's here. He's here. Would you please stand to your feet? We're going to pray. What I'm going to pray this morning, actually, Seth, would you please turn on that soaking, that I gave you that song. We're just going to, yeah, thank you, Tony. Now, I'm not going to put any pressure on this moment. You can linger and hang out as long as you want. Listen, we can leave the building open. You can do whatever you need to do. I believe that the Lord is doing something in our hearts today. You're welcome also. If now is the time, you have to go, you get going. That's totally fine. There's just no pressure on this moment at all. What I want to release to you this morning is I am bringing back that team, those apostolic leaders in that nation. They reminded me of something. Do you know that almost every major revival that's hit America came through South Africa? Something about that place. God, I thank you for that. I thank you, God, that today in this place, Lord, that I am standing boldly before your people and saying, ah, guys, this is that. Everything you've been longing for, your heart's turned. Hey, revival Jesus, that you're looking for, it's actually at hand. It's actually at hand. We just need to turn our hearts towards it. He's here. Father, I pray this morning. Would you just take your hand, put it on your own heart this morning. Father, I pray right now, your breath. The breath of life would fill beings. The breath of life, the fire of God would touch hearts even now. Holy love of God, that you would touch the deep places. Holy Spirit of God, you'd make them alive and new. Make them alive and new. God, I bless your people. I bless them. I bless them. I bless them. Listen, I'm going to linger for a while. Not for conversation's sake. I'm going to be seeking Jesus. You're welcome to join me if you want. If not, there's no worries. I release the blessing of the Lord over you. The presence of God invade your households, invade your relationships. His holy fire touch your businesses. His intimacy and nearness transform your life. I bless you today. Seth, go ahead and turn that up. And we're just going to linger for a while. You are released. God bless you guys.